Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for leading and guiding us. We thank you, Father, for giving us your son, Yahushua. We thank you for giving us your Torah, Father. We thank you for life. Father, we thank you for bringing us together today on your holy Shabbat, Father, to have an appointment with you, Father, to commune with you, Father. We ask that your spirit be here amongst us, Yahweh. We ask that your son, Yahushua, Father, be amongst us. Father, we ask that your love be amongst us, Father. And Father, that we remember to lift each other up in prayer fervently, Father, that we remember to bend our knees for one another, Father, that we remember, Father, that we are flesh, Father, and like flesh, we sometimes get overtaken, Father, by our faults, Father. Forgive me for my sins, Yahweh. Forgive me for all the wrong that I have done to you throughout the week, Father. Father, I just ask now that your spirit be here, Father, that you open our hearts, that you open our minds, Father, that you uplift our spirits on this Shabbat, and that we rely on you, Father, to lead us, to guide us, Father, and to teach us, Father, and to instruct us, Father. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us. And in Yahushua's name, we praise your name and say hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah, family. Let me start off by saying Shabbat Shalom. And how is everyone? And to the listening audience, for those who may be tuning in right now and we'll tune in the future. Shalom, this is your brother Ahab All with Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, USA. And this is Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that should not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, rightly dividing the word of truth. And beforehand, just have your study tools handy, your King James Version of the Bible. That's what Brother Ahab All likes to use. I also like to use the Strong's Concordance. I like to use those two very simple tools that Abba has given us, and, you know, just to rely on his spirit to lead and guide and to teach us and to lead us on the way. So, you know, family, we are a blessed congregation, you know. We are blessed for one reason and one reason alone, that Abba Yah has invited us in to a relationship with him. And that alone is enough. But sometimes, you know, he wants us, or he calls us to do a little bit more for him. You know, he says, look, children, I got a task for some of y'all to do. You know, and with this task, I want y'all to be ready. Be ready for some struggles. Be ready for some ups and downs. And, you know, like to say in the business world, some peaks and some valleys, you know. But Yahweh wants us to be challenged because how else are we going to learn except that we have challenges? You know, that's what challenges are for. They are there to bring about strengths in you in areas where you are weak, and also to purge you and also, you know, prove you. And that's one of the things that he said why he took Israel through the wilderness those 40 years. He said, I had to see what y'all were about. I had to see whether or not I could rely on y'all as well and as much as you can rely on them. And Abba has been faithful to us. He has, when you think about it. I mean, if nothing else, the hardest part for every one of our days is this: opening our eyes. That's the only thing we have no control over whatsoever. Beyond that, every thought, every emotion, every feeling, every inclination that we have is really up to us. You know, and that was part of what we were supposed to learn or be learning through this fourth Maccabee, is that you have to have some resolve. You have to have the ability to push through in some of the most dire circumstances. And that this life for us, as we were told many, many years ago, we weren't promised a rose garden. But as my brother has been teaching, you have to put on that armor. You have to put the whole armor. He didn't just say, just put on some armor. He said, make sure you put on the whole armor. Because I think about just football, how football used to be back in the day. Sorry, talking about football. Because that's really one of the only sports you really armor up. Football, hockey, you got to feel, you got lacrosse, where you really armor up. Where you got to put on a helmet. You got to put on shoulder pads. Back in the day, they used to have the pad that you put at the base of your spine so you didn't get a spinal contusion. You used to have the two hip pads. Now, they've really gotten away from that. They used to have the thigh pads. And they used to have the knee pads. A lot of guys, you know, now I guess, you know, they're a bit more hardcore than we were back in the day. But, you know, they had a lot more pads back in the day. Usually the only one who wears extra padding is the quarterback. He'll wear that little flak jacket. But most other guys, really, they've stripped their padding down. And it has let them be a little bit more susceptible to injuries, you know. A lot of serious injuries can take place in that situation. But anyway, not to get all into that. But, you know, when he says put on that whole armor, you know, we can't imagine now, you know, when you think about the ancient armor, that's where Paul was really drawing it from and pulling from what, you know, Eshiyahu the prophet had taught many, many years prior to that, was making sure that before you go out, you're girded up, that every part of your body has to be protected. But one of the most important things that needs to be protected is the one thing that you really can't put on any sort of even physical armor for, and that's your faith. That's what goes on inside your head, you know, and that has to be on constant guard. You know, I was reading this book many years ago, and I still, you know, read it from time to time. It's called The Master Key System. And one of the things that the man who wrote the book was a correspondence series from back in the day. And what he teaches you to do is to really start to quiet yourself, to really start to find ways to understand the thoughts that are coming into your mind, because thoughts and ideas, we're constantly bombarded with that, let alone what we're learning now about this radiation, that we are constantly being bombarded with that. Scientific studies are showing that these 4Gs and these 5Gs are affecting us in physiological ways that they know about it, but they're really not trying to do anything about it. You know, just before I came in today, I was going through YouTube and saw something about the new lady, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she's the lightning rod right now in Congress. But when you hear a lot of the things that, you know, that she's talking about in this one video in particular that she talked about, what they know is affecting the masses. They're trying to say that this Green Deal is an elitist concept. And but the argument that she's making is not the elitist argument. No. She's making an argument for the people, that the masses that you all are supposed to be serving are suffering. The people in Detroit, they're suffering Why y'all not talking about them? The people, she said, in the South Bronx where she lives, they have the highest rate of asthma per capita in the country. In the country. Why aren't y'all addressing that? You know, but y'all worried about oil deals. Y'all worried about building a wall. Y'all worried about building all these other things, that those are elitist problems. Those are the elitist problems. When you talk about health care and the things that that every individual should have the ability at least to say, hey, I can go to a doctor and get myself checked out. People don't have that. But yet and still, these big companies are making millions of dollars worldwide to line the pockets of executives, to line the pockets of individuals. That's elitist. But the political environment that we live in now, just spin after spin after spin, where you villainize somebody who's speaking truth on behalf of people. Now, when I say truth, I don't mean like truth in the sense of the word truth, but care for the common man. That's a principle in the word of Yahweh. You know, as much as people try to argue against the word, and we're going to talk about some of that today, you know, because the topic today is the heathen are enraged. You know, why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? You know, when you think about what the masses are doing, and the truth of the matter is not the masses. The elitists are doing to the masses. It's unjust because that's not based on Yahweh's word. In Yahweh's word, the poor, the widow, and the orphan were all provisions were provided for them first, and he had very wealthy people among Israel. Very wealthy people, but that was one of the things that he charged Israel with.
Man.
Y'all forgot the poor.
Right.
Y'all forgot the widow. Y'all forgot the orphan. And we're starting to see that amongst these people in this system, mm-hmm. that the very wealthy, the very rich have forgotten a basic principle, and that is to take care of one another.
Man.
They put, like my brother liked to say, the ism, schism, socialism, communism, capitalism. But what about us just here, one another?
Man.
You know, and that's something that, you know, and we can't just charge the world system with it. We got to charge Israel with it, too.
Man.
Because it starts first at home. And, you know, when people look at why Israel is suffering the way they have been suffering, it's because we stepped away. We didn't do what we were entrusted to do. When you think about where Yahweh is leading us, he had a very special relationship with Yisrael. And as a result of having that very, see, I mean, you have to think about it. And again, you know, I pray that Yahweh always keeps me in a position to plead his case, to plead his cause, to uplift him, to uphold him, to speak for him. Because I think of him, you know, and don't think, yeah, you think I'm crazy, but I think of him as a person who needs somebody on his side, a person who needs somebody to advocate for him. You know, you always hear about the quote unquote devil's advocate. Well, what about the creator's advocate? What about his advocate? You hear about that. Why is that? Why is that a common? This just shows you how evil we are. We will think about advocacy for the devil. They don't even have a phrase equivalent to that in the world, but he has his spokesman, and I did say spokesman, his spokespersons and women, because there's prophetesses. There are women who have been given gifts to see and to discern. We have them amongst our men. So Yahweh ain't sexy. Far from sexy. Matter of fact, when you look at Proverbs 30, it's totally against sexism. He's letting you know, man, you can find a good woman out there. She is more precious than coral, and her husband only profits thereby. So he's not saying, look, woman, you need to be barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen, making biscuits. He never said that. Never said that. But the sad part about it, even that gets spun to be looked at as being sexist. Wait a minute. Y'all, we talking about a powerful woman? And even that gets spun to the negative? You see what I'm saying? He needs an advocate.
Man.
He should have advocates. And I believe he has advocates here.
Man.
Because the prophets were his advocates. Moshe, Yeshayahu, what's that name? Hannah. in the scriptures? Was she a prophet? What was the prophetess's name? Was it Hannah the prophetess? The prophetess? Yes. So he has spokespersons in there. He has his spokespeople in there, you know, and we have to advocate for him. We got to speak up and take up his cause. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke, for my burden is light. And we're going to see today, we're going to talk about that, because these heathens, they got a yoke too. They got a yoke. Matter of fact, you know how they got the ring in the bull's nose? They got a lot of us like that too. And I'm grateful that my brother posted that video, because it was proof positive that's in the word. Some of the things that were talked about last week, that's the word. That's in the word.
Man.
You can't refute the word, regardless of what the source is.
Right.
But then again, there's a difference between the Bible and the word. Now, before you stone me, hear what I'm saying. The Bible is not the word of God. The Bible isn't the word of God. The Bible is a translation of a man's thoughts about the word of Yah. The word of Yah is Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashemayim, Wa'et, Ha'aretz. That's the word of Yah. That's the word. Not in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's not what he said. Somebody, a master translator, went in there and put those words out of his mind. How can I say that? Just look at how many different versions of the word Bible is out there. Just in the program alone, I think there's like 50. So there's 50 different people who came up with 50 different ways of looking at the Hebrew manuscripts and deciding among themselves, this is what it's saying.
Right. Come on.
But the word of Yah says something different. So when people say the Bible was used to subjugate black people, yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And when they say the Bible teaches such and such, yes, it did. But now what does the word of Yahweh say?
Come on.
And we have seen in numerous occasions that it has been mistranslated. Not even misinterpreted. Because again, remember, to translate that Bible into whatever language, you have to have intimate knowledge of Hebrew. I can't go translate something in Cantonese. I can't go translate. I can barely translate in English. The language that I have been speaking now for some 40-some-odd years. I got to use a dictionary to understand certain things. You see what I'm saying? So I don't even have a mastery of that, let alone to try to master now another language. But in order to translate that, you have to have intimate knowledge. And then when you have this intimate knowledge, why aren't you bringing it? Well, you can't speak and give truth if truth ain't in you. And that's what we saw in the video yesterday. You do have some people out there. There's a mechanical way of gaining knowledge.
Right.
You can go in any book and glean whatever you want from the book. But one of the things I'm learning, and it's very important, I remember Gershon Benjamin talking about that.
No.
Are you comprehending, though?
I remember that.
See what I'm saying? Comprehension now requires you to understand the intent. It requires you to understand what each individual character is feeling, especially our creator.
Mm.
You see, this is why he says, when I talk to my prophets. And that's why he even gives criteria on when I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they say something according to my will, this is what y'all should understand about it.
Right.
If they say something that is not according to my will, this is what y'all should understand about it.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Because anybody could go in, great, last week's lesson, big deal. But you know what? It's right there in front of everybody's eyes, not just the Harbaugh's. Wasn't in front of my eyes only.
Man.
That brother, he spoke to Joel 38. And it was a great discovery to me when I got it. But guess what? It's in the book of Job. We went through the book of Job. So it wasn't no great thing. No great thing. It really wasn't. It wasn't like inventing the wheel. It wasn't like I came up with something like, oh, yeah, it's mine. Different in intent, that brother's video.
Mm.
See, I came up with this. I never heard Yahweh being spoken of. You never hear him giving credit back to the source. Hey, look, I came up with this for y'all. I brought this forth for y'all. Hold up, bro. One of my favorite terms of Yahweh comes from Daniel 7. I was thinking about it while I was in the shower this morning. And the term brought tears to my eyes when I realized the greatness behind this term. When the prophet refers to him as the Ancient of Days. Let that marinate in your mind for a second. Ancient of Days. That means I am beyond days. I am the ancient. Before there were days that I created, I existed. Think about it. Before there was day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and Shabbat, there was an entity that existed in a realm prior to bringing this one into reality. There was one who sat on the circle of all of this before it was this. Who is calling us into a relationship? That's who is leading and guiding us. That's who called us his son. And who has given us a new name, a new surname. He took our forefathers from being Yaakov the surplanter to a prince that overcomes. With the mighty one. Forgetting about the lesson, family. We're going to talk about why did the heathen rage? Because we start to see more and more as we travel down this path that scripture is so on point. And again, back to the brother's video, he confirmed a lot of things that Abba said. You know what? You need to understand this, Ahava. You're a Catholic. As long as you govern your life by January, February, March, and ain't nobody in this world that don't, sure, you may go against the system to keep his holy days, but for the most part, the first of the year starts for you the same way everybody else in the system the first of the year starts. Don't pay your taxes come next month. Tell them that, I go according to the new moon cycle, and based on the new moon cycle, that day was this day. Okay. Just make sure it's prior to the 15th on this here Gregorian calendar. Otherwise, be prepared to face the penalty. And we will see that Yahweh allows this to happen. That man didn't use circle. And it's a scripture we see all week. As a matter of fact, it was read last week. Let's go back to it. And I was glad to see some confirmation, because sometimes you feel like you up here and you're a little crazy in your mind. But let's go back to Daniel 7:25. And he said, and he shall speak great words against, and shall wear out who? The saints of the Most High. And they shall be given. And when you look up the term in Hebrew, it was a gift to the people of this system. And that's why he says, and think, matter of fact, let's just read it. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He ain't speaking them against us. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He going to wear us out. He going to wear us out. He going to beat us down in this system. Look at the difficulties we're going to have coming up in the next month. And I'm not talking about the spiritual difficulties. I'm talking about getting your time in enough time so he can say, yes, you may have the time off. And if he says, I don't think you can have the time, then, as me and my brother often discuss, how I'm going to devise how I'm going to call out during this time. Because I'm going to use my time. Because I'm going to be present for these appointments. So if I got a sick, slick, trick day, I'm pulling it out the bag so that I could be present here. So we're in captivity. The moment we can't say to them, look, don't look for me these days, I got to put in the permission slip. Do you have to put in the permission slip? Okay. Do you have to put in the permission slip? I know. Because we work together. Do you have to put in the permission slip? And by show of hands in the back, anybody got to put in a permission slip that's not a full-time student? Oh, no, you're not a full-time student anymore. Okay? Hey. Now, if you have your own business, guess what? You're still in a conundrum. Because let's say, for instance, you set up an appointment on that particular day that is time-sensitive. See, I want to be a real estate agent. And let's say that this person's hundreds of thousands of dollars is due on a holy day. Dilemma. So I thought I was skirting the system by becoming my own boss. And then the reality of it hit me. That as these things are time sensitive, let's say you a plumber, electrician, HVAC, whatever, mechanic. And let's say something happens. What do you do? What do you do? The dilemma. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the fact that it causes a difficulty shows you what? We still in bondage. Motion. Tell Aharon to tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may save me. Moshe, tell Aharon to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they can keep appointments with him. So back to Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, because you're not changing the real times and laws. You can flip the calendar to January, whatever. You can name the months June, July, and August, September, October. You can do all of that. That doesn't change what Yahweh asked to do. That doesn't change what Yahweh set in place. It doesn't. But he did say, I'm going to give it into his hand. I'm going to give them this for a time, and divide the times. I'm going to let him jack up this time. I'm going to let it cause distress. Because guess what? There was a time that didn't cause distress for us. We were isolated from all of that. And that didn't start to change for us until we went into captivity. And we haven't been out of captivity since. But we wanted the captivity. Because Yahweh said, if you want freedom, come, he said, my ways are what? Freedom and life. It's a good life. I'm living my best life. Israel had its best life with Yahweh. But now, as we start to look back, see what Yahweh is doing, he's bringing up archaeologists. He's turning us all into little Indiana Jones. Some of us into Belloc, the crooked archaeologist. But those who really want to understand and dig deeper into the past, that's all archaeology is. When you break the two terms down, old talking. What did the ancients talk about? What did the ancient leaders, what are we supposed to discern from? And this is an ancient book. He calls himself, I'm the ancient of days. So this is an ancient book written by an ancient God, not a newcomer. And he said, they're new gods. He told us straight up, y'all going to serve some of these new gods. He said, y'all going to disavow me, but y'all going to do something that heathens don't even. And that was a good point that the brother made in the video. I don't get on them about keeping their Christmas. I don't get on them. I don't keep it. But I ain't getting on y'all. Y'all doing what y'all ancestors did. This ain't new. He told us that this was a practice. They was practicing way back then. But y'all don't practice it. This is a practice they chose. And like this video about The Matrix, the movie about The Matrix, he called some souls out. Here now. Here now, Jacob, my son, it was I who made you and formed you in the womb.
Right.
My brother posted, well, how many times, I forgot, what was the question? And he said the answer was 20, so what is 26? Well, womb is mentioned 26, because the lady in the video said matrix, the term for womb, the Latin term for womb, was only 5 times in the scriptures. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. In the Bible, she said, that's not true. Well, no, it is true. It's in the Bible 5 times. But in the word of Yahweh, the term for womb and where he brings about these new souls is 26 times in the Torah, in the Tanakh. You see what I'm saying? So as much, and her name is Sophia, and Sophia means what? Wisdom, right? And as wise as she is by her name, there's only but so much, and I love that scripture too that says, hitherto thou shalt go no further. Because your limitation, because you don't have a relationship with God, you will then say, all you got to do is read. All you got to do is read. All you got to do is pass a certain grade level in reading, and you can read the words. But now it's a gift to be given revelation and understanding about it. And millions of people, me being one of them, watching it several times, saw that video and go back and think, oh yeah, the Bible do talk about the matrix 5 times. Yeah, but the Hebrew term that it is translated from, which they chose only 5 times to use matrix, exactly. It's womb and womb, all the other 21 times.
Come on. Come
on, in various places throughout the scriptures. And she had a lot of gems. Those two videos I thought were gems. They were some gems this week. I enjoyed watching them. I watched them both twice. And I ain't got no issue with the brother. Other than the fact that Abba hasn't, well, I don't have an issue with that. Abba didn't reveal certain things to him. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. The Abba just didn't open his eye to see certain things because with the moon, just because it's not at the full moon stage, don't make it not a great light. Yahweh's word says it's a great light, period.
Amen.
And Yahweh established it in a cycle, period.
Amen.
And he said it's going to rule the night, and it rules the night,
man.
Period, along with the stars.
Man.
So no argument there. But now don't go and say it's only great when it's in its full state. That's when it's its greatest. That's when it's its greatest. That moon is supposed to represent the power of Yahweh, even more so than the sun. Even more so than the sun. Because he resurrects it. Every month. He resurrects that moon every month. Because why did it go dark? So every little while it starts to peek out like the universe is giving birth to it. Because think about when a baby is born, whether it's by C-section or whether it's through the canal.
That's right?
The first thing they say, it's crowning. That's up a level of my nose.
Right.
I was in the room with him, and everybody else knows this. The first thing they say, oh, he's starting to crown.
Right.
Or even if they got to cut it open when they start it, the first thing that come out is the top of their head. So every month you need the universe to give them birth to life. See that light? How are you a doctor of the law, and you don't understand these things. Because, see, everybody raising themselves up as doctors, and doctor means teacher. Everybody raising themselves up as teachers of the law. But Nicodemus, he had to check Nicodemus on that.
He
said, you were teaching Israel? And don't think he was kind about it. He was very blunt, like how my brother can be blunt. How my brother can be blunt. You were teaching Israel? And you don't understand birth? This is why the Romans had to jack it from them. This is why it had to be given to them. Because Israel failed. They were wise. They became fools. Why? Because Israel, the Torah is your wisdom, not Talmud, not the Midrash, not the Mishnah. Before you could come up with any of them both, you've got to have the Torah first.
That's right.
That's first. That's the granddaddy.
That's right.
That's the foundation. That's the basis. See? Before you can have any other book, you better have it.
Yeah.
And before you can talk and speak on behalf of Yahweh, and everybody out there speaking ain't speaking on behalf of Yahweh. The ones who speak on behalf of Yahweh uplift Yahweh. First thing that come up their mouth, Yahweh blessed me to see this.
Right.
Yahweh showed me this. Not I came up with this. Not I. I am nothing.
That's right.
I don't exist without him breathing into my frame. You think that's air you're breathing? That's a very pointed question in that movie. I watched it again last night. You think that's air you're breathing? It ain't O2. That's the mechanics behind it. But that's life from Yahweh, from the source you read it. Because guess what? Even the corpse is surrounded by oxygen. Trust me, I take him down there into last resting place. I watched life leave my father's body. I watched it. I've seen several people die in front of me. Several. Take their last breath in front of me working out. Not by choice. By accident. Okay? I'm sitting right next to the man in the seat while he's passing away. I'm like, sir, you okay? Sir, you okay? And all he could do. And I watched Yahweh's essence leave his being. I didn't watch oxygen disappear from his lungs. Sitting right next to him. Oxygen is right there. Because I'm breathing oxygen.
That's right. Come on,
man. He ain't breathing that oxygen no more. So ain't the oxygen that's being surrounded by that's keeping us alive.
Right.
Yahweh got the switch that says, oh, I'm going to turn you off today.
Come on.
He's the master behind that. Not us.
Ooh, yeah.
And when he says life is like a vapor, here one moment, gone the next. You ever had that a pot boiling with a steam coming out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that steam for but a quick second?
Yeah.
That's just how life goes. Now watch my dad do that. One last gasp. And now we took the battery out of him. And he was gone. So it ain't oxygen. The power of Yahweh that sustains us. The power of Yahweh is his word that keeps everything in place. It's his word that says, son, go through its cycle. Run from this gate to that gate. Move. Cram. Be born. Then go back in. Yahweh that says that, man. It's his word that keeps this all in place. And it's his word. The spokesperson is just that. His spokesperson. It's his book. You know? But there's a lesson. I beloved this man. I think Abba helped me see too. He said, beloved of El, keep my oath. Reverence and love. Knowledge will give you the manifestation that will help you with judgment. You caught it? You caught it? So when we go through this cycle, that's what we're supposed to learn every time. My beloved, first thing I want y'all to remember is my oath. Second thing I want you to remember is reverence. The third thing I want you to remember is reverence that oath. That'll bring you into good love. Love my oath. When you love my oath and you reverence my oath, all thy getting get understanding. Which was the first thing that came out of this after Gershom began to pass with Kanei Bina. But in order to get understanding, to get that, you got to have revelation. And then once you have revelation or manifestation, then you can pronounce right judgment. And that's what he's trying to do. You can say it.
This is the truth.
Hallelujah.
In the dream, what I was doing, I was explaining it. What Yahweh showed me in the dream is that if I was talking to you all,
hallelujah,
and I was explaining to you all how Yahweh been with us the whole time, but how he showed it is by Mara'al always opening up in prayer, and Shafu'al always closing in prayer, showing that what's coming next is going to be this manifestation, everything that you just said, but then what's going to lead us to the right judgment, the judgment of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
And that's, hallelujah. I dreamt about that last night.
Hallelujah.
You know, I didn't know, but praise be to
God. And you know what? You know what? And this was the first time, and I got to tell you, my longtime brother and friend, it was great to actually have a conversation with you this week. It was. I don't think I had a conversation with you like that for a long time, and it was awesome. I get to talk to my man right here every day, get to talk to him so often. I get to talk to my man every so often, get to talk to my man every so often. But I couldn't tell the last time I had a conversation with him. Like, man, it was, I got off the phone, man. It was so refreshing. It was just refreshing. It reminded me that we saw the Matrix together 20 years ago. And that really set it off as far as looking at movies and trying to gain those pearls of wisdom. Because Yahweh makes those things for us to see and understand. You know what I'm saying? And it put us on a path of dissecting everything. You know? But again, we're going to start off, family, in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our beloved man, I don't even think, you know, we really understand the depths of that love. And not, you know, and not just love for the world. But you say, y'all say love the world. He gave his only begotten son as a free gift to everybody. But there's a special place for certain individuals in his eyes. All of Israel, he only called a handful of prophets. Out of all of Israel, he only called. You think about the number he gave that left out of Egypt. And it was really just Moshe and Aharon and his sister. Initially, you know what I'm saying? It was only them. You know, I don't know what the world population was back then when Abraham was brought out of Ur of the Chaldees. But it was only him amongst that entire population. You see what I'm saying? But we're going to see.
Come on.
Matthew 7:7, fam. We're going to start up there. And he wants us to know this. This is him. This is the Creator talking to us.
That's right.
And if you don't believe me, hey, sorry. But he gives you signs, and all you got to do is go in our Yeshayahu, who they call them messianic prophets, and so much of the stuff that Yeshayahu said, Yahushua confirmed.
Amen.
He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. He wants us to be archaeologists. He wants us. It's like when we learned about turn it, the riddle, turn it and turn it and turn it and turn it. What is it? The Torah. Turn that Torah over. And see, what he really wants from us in this generation, because back then he was wide open to our forefathers and foremothers. He revealed himself to them. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know what to do with it. It was too much for them. Too much. It drove them crazy in a sense. All of that beauty, all of that glory, all of that. They couldn't elevate themselves to a point to say, hey, y'all, we got the God. We got the power. This is the one. Only very few really actually saw into that. Only few. Only thing, as a matter of fact, if you don't believe, look at the story when they went to spy out the land. I believe it was 10 or was it 12? 10 went to spy out the land, right? 8 came back and was like, oh, no, we can't. It was 12? Hallelujah. Told us. So 10 was like, we can't take these people. And Yahushua and Caleb said, what y'all talking? He said, we just met God. What you mean we can't take them? Y'all forget we just met the Creator? What you mean we can't take them? But that goes to show you that the mindset of 10, the mindset of 10 can't see the reality of what of the Creator, even though he personally introduced himself to them back then. So when we read this, we're going to go through it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock. And it shall be open to you. Look, he said, if you ask and you don't get it, look for it. If you don't get it, come knocking at my door. He gave a parable about a woman who went to the judge day after day after day after day after day. So she worried the judge so much. The judge said, I will tell you what. Yahweh wants us to be in his face. Abba, what you mean by that? Abba, what's the answer to that? Yes. He wants us to have these difficulties. Yes. He wants these things to be brought up because we're special in his eyes. We're special. Hmm? For everyone, Matthew 7:8, that asketh, receiveth. Did he not? He asked a couple questions. Did he not answer that for us? And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asked bread, he would give him a stone? He's talking about our heavenly Father. Or if he asked a fish, he would give him a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give food gifts unto your children, how much more shall your children, which is your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the Torah and the Nebuchadnezzar. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And we got an illustration of that in the book of Ezra, didn't we? About what Ezra saw and what he described. How the whole world is going down this path. But the way to get to Yahweh, as a matter of fact, there was a documentary I was watching the other day about the Ethiopians. And it's a way about the Ethiopian religion. But they had their enclave in this mountain. And the mountain, and hopefully I can find the video later on this week and share it with the brothers. They don't have any God with them. These men are going up the side of this mountain. And it's a high mountain. Not the highest, but it's a high mountain. There's no God with them. There's some steep precipices. But they said in order, if you want to gain this solemnness with the Creator, you got to walk this mountain path. It's scary. It really is. Hopefully, remind me to share the video with y'all. Not that I agree with the religion or whatever their faith is, and they go up there and all they do is read the Psalms. That's all they do. They climb up there so they can go up there and they can read the Psalms. But the point is that they find somebody and they're finally putting up a guardrail at the very top. It's against maybe somebody fell off, but it's a steep path. But when you think about it, he said, broad is the way and wide is the way. It's a highway. It's a highway. Everybody's on the highway. Everybody's on I-95 of Yahweh. And it's so funny because my stepdaughter asked me, she's trying to learn how to ride on the highway, and she wanted to go to this place to 95, 100, and Columbia Pike. And I said, don't go 95. So I don't like to drive 95. I've been driving all these years. I hate 95 because of the trucks. And these truck drivers, man, they drive these trucks like they little cars sometimes. So I said, please don't go on 95. Whatever you do, don't go on 95. I said, 100. A lot better, but it's got some tricky entryways and exits. You know, they got them funny lanes on 100. Pike is a little bit safer for you. Take Columbia Pike. You know, but the point of the matter is, broad is the way and wide is the gate. That I-95, everybody's on I-95. I want to put themselves in jeopardy. But y'all would say, y'all ain't got to put yourselves in jeopardy. Take Route 29. It'll get you there. And it's a quiet path. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot calmer for the highway driver. Taking Route 29 or some of them little side streets of Columbia. My father knows Columbia. He used to be down there. Them side streets be nice. They get you there just as fast. Matter of fact, there's a way that I can get from my house to Towson without getting on any highway. Beautiful scenic route. Never had to touch the highway. And not a lot of people travel that. It's never congested. Except maybe when you get to the light at Falls Road. Other than that, it's a nice quiet path. And 695 be backed up. But that path, boom, get there in a jiffy. But Yahweh letting you know, everybody's on that broad path. Anyway, he says, enter into the straight gate, back to 7:13, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight, 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and this is the part I love, and few there be that find it. So when you start talking about being an archaeologist and you think about even like the Indiana Jones series, the first one, he wanted that one treasure. He wanted that one treasure. And every time he got to that treasure, guess what happened? Read over you. He said, 7:15, beware of false, because when you think about that movie, here comes Belloc. As soon as he goes through all the danger. When you think about the first one, Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, he goes through all the danger, tripping, the man betrays him, he got to whip across the thing, and then he got to dodge the fiery arrows. What are we supposed to learn from that? If we're seeking for these ancient treasures. That was, just to get that one of the treasures was a perilous journey for him. The beginning of the movie. Man betraying him. One too scared to go with him. Throw me the whip. Throw me the whip. Nah, I got the treasure now, bruh. So he had to put himself in danger, not so much for the treasure, just to stay alive. Because he says now, beware of false prophets. That's Belloc. So Belloc comes up with all these people now. They standing there. They don't even, he said, too bad you don't speak their language. Only if you spoke their language. But he wasn't out there to deceive the people. And what did he do? He took the idol and showed it to the people and said whatever he said in their language, and they automatically bowed down. People are doing with the word. That's what people are doing with the word. Israelites. Israelites. Because Yahweh's talking to Israel when he says beware of false prophets. He ain't talking to the world. Because remember now, we ain't really, even up to them, what was Peter's issue? What was Peter's issue? Peter's issue was, I ain't talking to Romans. I don't talk to them. As a matter of fact, Paul withstood them to his face because as the believers were coming in and people of Rome started coming in, Paul was about being amongst them Hebrews and about that Hebrew culture. I ain't trying to deal with them Romans. That ain't my commission. Yahushua told me go to the lost sheep of the find the lost sheep of Israel. He didn't tell me go to them. So Yahushua had to intervene in a dream. Say to him 3 times. Because at first he's like, nah, hold up, man. You showing me pork, scrumps, and all this type of stuff. I ain't never ate at McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell. I never ate that. I only ate from Dougie. I only ate from Kosher Bites. That's what he told Yahushua. But think about it. Now, he's challenged because he said, hold up, man. This dream can't be for real. I'm seeing this sheep coming out. It said, come on, eat. Rise up. Eat. Slaughter. Eat this food. And Peter's like, no, I ain't eating that. No, I ain't eating that. And he had to say, all right, since you ain't getting the dream, anybody I call unclean, I mean clean, they're clean. Period. So go see the Roman centurion. Darn it. Because Peter was resistant to it. Peter ain't want to be around them. Peter was a Hebrew of Hebrews. You couldn't get no more Hebrew than Peter, than Kephas. You could not. Not in that era. And then here comes Paul, a newcomer to the, first of all, an enemy to the Hebrew state, and he's saying to them, now hold up, man, we got these Greeks coming. My commission is to bring these Greeks and these Romans in. Of course Hebrews was resistant to that. Of course it was. Why? Wait a minute, you go tell me now, you saying that God told you to use our enemy who've been out there slaughtering our people to now bring in the people who've been slaughtering our people too? That was a dilemma, a big dilemma. But he says, back to 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He ain't talking about the Romans then. He's talking about Hebrews. You shall know them by their fruits. If you don't speak the word of Yahweh, if you don't invoke Yahweh's name, you're a plagiarist. If you take, what is plagiarism? Plagiarism is taking someone else's words and not giving them credit for it. That's plagiarism. You cannot take an excerpt out of somebody's book and not put at some point on the note that this came from so-and-so and so-and-so. That's plagiarism. So when a person doesn't say, well, I got this from Yahweh, Yahweh gave this to me, they plagiarizing. And that could get you in big trouble in school, can it, teacher? That'll sure enough get you an F for the year. So you better hope it ain't your last paper of the year that the teacher said, this is worth 50% of your grade. And I'm telling you at the beginning of the year, because by the end of the year, the month before the end of the year, I'm going to be gathering your papers. And I was that student, cramming all in a couple of days before, thinking I could outwrite the teacher. And I'm going to write these words so eloquently that the teacher going to look at it and she ain't never going to know where I got that from. Sean Barrett, come here. Am I hunt me? Yeah, Sean Barrett. I don't know what Sean Barrett in the class. Come here. This paper you wrote here, I know this ain't you. I done seen your papers throughout the year. You can't write. So whose words are these? Same thing with a lot of these men out there. I came up with this. Come on, Blonde. Come on. Don't give yourself that much credit. And don't discredit Yahweh. It's his word. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns? or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereupon their fruit ye shall know them. So now everybody's going to marvel at this guy's video. Yeah, I gave y'all all this, and I use this big word, meta, and I'm not going to invoke that dude's name. But that's what these dudes try to do, because they know, hey, you want to hide something from a black person, put it in the book. And all you got to do is be that one. He said, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So because we ain't readers, you got to have time to do the reading. Instead of giving credit to the author of it, he says, well, I gave y'all this. I automatically turn you off after that. I can't. I glean the truth but I already know now that's what he's saying. You ain't about giving due to the Father. And that's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, let's go to Second Psalms. And this is supposed to be the lesson for the day, friends. That's where I came in and get into talking. I listened to it. I got a little excited last week. Forgive me, y'all. Second Psalms. He says, the writer says, why do the heathen rage? And when you look at that term rage, why are they causing this tumult? Why are they causing this storm? Why are they causing all of this confusion? And the people imagine a vain thing. He said, the kings of the earth set them and the rulers take counsel. And I looked at that term counsel because I really wanted to understand what Yahweh was trying to tell us in this. And when you look at the term, let's dig a little deeper together, man. Let's do some archaeological work. Let's do some archaeology. Right? And it's Hebrews 32:45 for those who may be following home. And the term is a yasad, right? Now, when I looked at it, primitive root to set, it's 32:45 in Hebrew, intensively to found, reflectively, to sit down together, that is settle, consult, approach, take counsel, establish, lay for a found foundation, instruct, lay, ordain, set, or sure. But one of the things, and if anybody has the BDB, a term in there that I found to be most interesting was this family. For that term counsel, right? So you go to the BDB terms, and I'm going to read some of the BDB definitions. To found, fix, establish, lay foundation. To found, establish, begin. To fix or seat themselves close together, sit in a conclave. And I thought, where did I hear that term conclave before? So can somebody go to Google and Google the term conclave? Because we want to know who is doing this. Because the same people that gave us this gave us the Gregorian calendar. The same people that gave us this gave us the notion that the earth revolves around the sun. So what does it say, Rabbi? Did you have it, sir?
Yes.
All right. You type in conclave. Yeah, what comes up first?
First thing that comes up is a private or secret meeting.
Yes. Does it say who it's amongst when you Google it?
Well, there's something down here. You want me to read the full thing?
Yes, can you please? Please, Randy, could you? Oh, you. Which one is it? Oh, yes, sir. Which one is it? Oh, can you read the whole thing?
Oh, yes, sir. Right, number two. An assembly or gathering, especially one that has special authority, power, or influence, as in a conclave of political leaders, the assembly or meeting of the cardinals for the election of a pope, the body of cardinals, the college of cardinals, the place in which groups of the Roman Catholic Church meet in private for the election of a pope.
Toda Rabba. Hallelujah. So why use the term conclave then? And why did the BDB go into such more detail than, oh, Mr. Strong? Is it because when you do the research on Mr. Strong, he was commissioned by the Catholic Church? So now he's showing us that this council here, these are the ones that are gathering, because that's why the world is Catholic. So what, the far reaches, what you got there, huh? Mm-hmm. What's that?
A lockable rumor.
Hmm? For a lockable rumor. Hmm? Room. A lockable room. So they lock themselves in a room. And they come and they say, how are we going to destroy the ways of the creator of their own creator, the creator of the universe, and his people? And his people. You know what? So I read a funny story. I said he no longer wants people to kiss his ring. I guess he's tired of them lips getting all on his fingers. Because he watched some people kiss that ring. I said, good Lord, what are you trying to do to that ring? Tired of being treated as God. A lot of responsibility comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you got some wild cards in the world doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? That's a Methodist. A Methodist with a Jewish daughter. Hmm? It's kind of hard. He's making it hard for everybody, even God himself on earth. Hmm? Hmm? He done glitched the matrix on him. Has he been to see him yet? They ain't take Obama long to go see him. He flew over there right away. He saw him already? Okay. Yeah. And he went to see him already? Okay. There was your family? That's him up. My man. Thank you. Thank you for the seat of power. So listen to what they say. Back to this. The kings of the earth, Psalms 2:2. Set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They come up with this conclave against Yahweh first, his anointed, his Moshiach.
Come on.
Hmm? Against the Moshiach.
Come on.
They gave us a fake one. Hmm? They gave us a fake one.
Man.
In conjunction with those who believe, may his name and his memory be blotted out. Hmm? In conjunction, they work together, and they still working together. Hmm? Hmm? And he said, and this is the part we really have to understand. Psalms 2:3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. Get away from them. And after we get away from them, let's start breaking apart what binds them together. What binds Yahweh to his people? His Torah. But what's the other thing that bands Yahweh to his people? His people. Yahushua. So let's break up the Torah and let's get rid of Yahushua. We have no king but Caesar. Allegiance from back there. Don't think they changed their allegiance. Changed their allegiance. The only reason why they exist is because they're in allegiance. Next week, we're going to talk about the Church of Satan.
Yes, yes.
And I hope y'all remember something that Yaakel said months ago. I hope y'all kept it in y'all memory. That Satan is not just an individual, but an organization. Okay. All right. It says, but this is the great part about it. And this is why we have to continually stay in the presence of God. That's why we have to put on, as my brother been teaching, the full armor of Yahweh. Because Yahweh says this. 2:4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's LOLing them. In the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Hmm? Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. Isn't that what he said when he came on the earth? Huh? Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear. So he then gave them a warning. He let them know from way back then. He's talking directly to them that's taking up this conclave and saying, y'all better serve me. Matter of fact, y'all got a lot of my treasures in here. Y'all the ones that allow people to get to it. Because before you can make a Bible, you've got to go get them treasures from them. Before you can come up with that, they have possession of it. Them and their cousins that dwell over in that land. They possess it. So he says, be wise. Teach them. Be wise now, therefore. Or you can't be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with reverence. We about to hear reverence today, ain't we?
Amen.
Who teaching? Yeah. Who teaching today? But the reverence of earth. Huh? And rejoice with trembling. Huh? Then he says this. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they. Shalom, family. Shalom. Any thoughts, any questions, anything? Hallelujah. 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 My phone didn't, my earpiece didn't even run out today. Hallelujah. Trust in Yahweh. Lean not upon thine own understanding, but acknowledge Yahweh in all his ways, in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah, family. Cold, cool, family. Are you Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Daddy, would you mind closing us out, sir?
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The love of mighty one heaven. Every one of us, that our spirit becomes one with your spirit, united with you and thy Son, heaven. We ask you for that strength, Heavenly Father, to continue in the word, not for the strength, but the light of the left. That we all remain obedient to your voice and submissive to your will, in spite of the dilemma that we face each and every day, Heavenly Father. We pray for strength through your spirit that we may all endure. We ask for thy grace and thy mercy, Heavenly Father, to be extended to each and every one of us. That you forgive us, Heavenly Father, for the sin we committed against you, willingly and unwillingly, friends and wives, better fathers and mothers above all things, that we may show forth the true love to you and your Son. In the name of Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
You're more.